I didn't introduce myself when I got up before. My name's Ben. I'm the pastor here at Barney's. If I haven't met you before, great to have you with us. And it's great to be opening God's Word with you. We're going to be looking at that passage in Matthew 25 that Rachel read for us. And I'm going to start with a question for you. Are you ready? Are you ready? Ready for what, you may ask? A number of things, really. I imagine at this time of year, that's a question that's going to be asked increasingly as we lead up to Christmas. Are you ready for Christmas? You know, have you got all your presents? Have you got all the supplies in the pantry for your Christmas dinner? Are you ready? Anyone ready for Christmas yet? I mean, still a month to go, isn't it? The Emerys, I imagine, are being asked that question quite a lot. Are you ready for the birth of your third child? You know, have you got the bag packed? Sniggers. Have you got a plan for what to do with Corbin and Esher? Have you got a birth plan? You got a cot? You got nappies? Are you ready? And as we head into summer and the weather heats up, I imagine in the hills particularly, that's a question people are going to be asking each other. Are you ready for the fire season? Are you ready in case the bushfire sweeps through? Have you got your fire plan in place? Whether we prepare for future events or not, I think depends on two things. How important we think they are, kind of how significant if we miss out, and how likely do we think it's going to happen. We could draw a graph, you know, with importance on the y-axis and likelihood on the x-axis, and we could plot different future events on how likely we think they are, how important they think we think they are. And if something's up here, like really important and really likely to happen, well, that's an event you definitely want to prepare for, isn't it? If you don't prepare for Christmas, it's not that significant. If you've got kids, they might differ, but you know, you're going to miss out on some presents. You might not have the full Christmas meal. You have to throw together something from what you've got in the pantry, but it's not going to be that disastrous. If you don't prepare for the birth of your child, it's a bit more serious. You know, if you go into labor unexpectedly and you're not prepared, it might be a bit of a panic. You know, frantically throwing stuff in a bag, ringing round for someone to look after the other kids, or maybe they come with you. That'll be fun. You know, it's more serious. You'd be a bit of a fool if you don't prepare for the birth of your child. But, I don't know, not a complete disaster. You could probably make it work. If you live in the hills and you don't prepare for a bushfire, you're an idiot, aren't you? I've never seen a bushfire. I don't really get how serious they are, but I do get the fact that you can't just run away. You know, when the warning comes in, you're not going to be able to put it out with your garden hose. I heard on Friday about a family that live in Kangarilla, and some years ago a bushfire came through that region. They had 7 minutes warning. And there was no time to do anything. If they weren't ready, they weren't ready. They just followed the plan, huddled together in the home. There was no way they could escape. And in 7 minutes' time, the full force of that fire came through their property, swept over their home. And they were only saved because they had this ingenious sprinkler system fixed around the edge of the roof of the house. So there was a kind of curtain of water around the whole thing. And they were kept safe. The parable we're looking at this morning is about a future event, and a future event of ultimate importance and absolute certainty. Right at the end of Matthew's gospel, in the last major teaching that Jesus gives, he speaks to us about his return. And he is impressing on us the absolute importance of being ready for it. If you don't prepare for this event, Jesus says, you're a fool. The word is actually, in Greek, it's the word moron. You're a complete idiot if you don't prepare for this event. Yeah. We're heading into the season of Advent, and Advent is all about the coming of Christ, both his first coming and his second coming. We look forward to his first coming at Christmas, but also in Advent, we look forward to his second coming, to Jesus' return. And so for three Sundays, we're going to look at the three parables recorded in Matthew 25 that are all about Jesus' return and the need to be ready. In the parable this morning, Jesus describes his return as a wedding banquet with himself as the bridegroom. Now, I guess most, if not all of us, are familiar with wedding celebrations. We've had a few in the last couple of years here. What you may not be familiar with from this first century story is that weddings in Jesus' day went for days. And often, usually, part of the wedding celebrations included a torch-lit procession from the bride's house to the groom's house where the wedding banquet took place. And so you'd have young women, bridesmaids, if you like, to light the way for the wedding party as they head on this procession. We're told that these bridesmaids are virgins, which I don't think is particularly significant. It just means a young woman. It is not praising the virtues of virginity. That is not the point of the story. These young women would have had lamps, as we're told, and the lamps were probably sticks with bits of cloth wrapped around the top that you'd pour oil on to light and stay alight for the duration of the procession. The point of the story is pretty simple, I think. The groom was delayed, and when he arrived, some of the bridesmaids were ready and went into the wedding banquet with him, and some of the bridesmaids were not ready, and they were shut out. And Jesus says, this is what the kingdom of heaven will be like. This is what it will be like at his return. For some, a day of incredible joy, with the presence of the Lord Jesus himself heading into the wedding banquet of eternity. For others, it'll be a day of disaster and great regret as they are shut out. And the question that this story raises for us is, are you ready? Are you ready for that event? Are you ready for his return? 2 points on the screen. The first, each of us needs to be ready. Each of us needs to be ready. And 4 reasons why. There's only 3 on the screen, so you have to pay attention. The first reason is because the return of Jesus is certain. It's certain because Jesus says it is certain. In chapter 24 and verse 34, Jesus says, truly I tell you. In other words, you can take my word for it. Truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Now, these things that he's talking about are the events leading up to the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, and also the signs of the end of the age. And he's saying these things will certainly happen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. You can bank your life on Jesus' words. What he says will happen will happen. Throughout Matthew's gospel, he has been predicting his death and resurrection. And as we read on from chapter 25, in the very next chapter, he is arrested, as he predicted. In chapter 27, he is crucified, as he predicted. In chapter 28, he is raised from the dead, just as he predicted, on the third day. And so all that is left is for this prediction that we find in 24 and 25, the return of Jesus. Everything else has happened. We're just waiting for his return. Now, it shouldn't be a cause for concern that his return is delayed. The fact that it is delayed doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Jesus tells us in this story that there will be a delay. Verse 5 says, the bridegroom was a long time in coming. Jesus is saying very clearly, it's not going to happen straight away. So we shouldn't be surprised by the delay, but it will happen. We have Jesus' word on it. The return is certain, and so we need to be ready. Secondly, the return is final. You see that in verse 10. The bridegroom arrives. Those who are ready are asked for oil, they say no. The foolish bridesmaids go to buy oil. But verse 10 tells us, while they're on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. And those who were not ready are excluded. They can't get in. There's no badgering their way into the banquet. And there's an amazing contrast here, isn't there? How wonderful it will be for those who are ready. Yeah, this is going to be the best wedding celebration ever. The wedding of Jesus, the bridegroom. No expense will be spared. Eternity is not going to be a dull harp-strumming exercise. It is going to be full of joy and celebration. It's too good to put into words how wonderful eternity will be for those who are part of that wedding celebration. Enjoying eternity with Jesus himself. We sang, didn't we, in that first song? Well, maybe it's endless joy and perfect peace. Suffering no more, death no more. Seeing our Savior face to face. The contrast with those who are not ready, who are excluded, is stark. For them, it's too late. They knock on the door. They ask to come in. But once the door is shut, that's it. There's no court of appeal. There's no negotiating. No amount of charm or force or name dropping can open the door. The return is final. And that's why it's so important that we're ready. I wonder if you've ever been late for a flight. My wife is always impressing on me that the need to be on time. I don't think I've ever missed a flight. I've missed other things. I don't think I've ever missed a flight, but I'm told by a trusted friend that when the door of the plane is closed, it's closed. They don't open it. You know, no amount of appeal will get them to open the door. And, you know, if you say, look, the plane is still there. It's on the tarmac. It hasn't moved. Couldn't you just open up for me, you know, just a little bit? I'm quite thin. Yeah, it's really important I get this plane. Someone's waiting for me at the other end. I know the captain. I'm a Qantas frequent flyer. You know, no amount of persuasion is going to get them to open the door. I'm told that you're likely to receive the response, I'm sorry, sir, when the door is closed, it's closed. Read my lips. Closed. Now, missing a flight might be annoying. It's certainly something to be well prepared for, but there's usually the option of getting a later flight in a day, isn't there? It's not a complete disaster. When it comes to the return of Jesus, it's far more serious. There is no later flight. There's no second chance. The return of Jesus is final. We need to be ready. Thirdly, the return of Jesus is sudden. It's not an event that you can stick in your calendar and then put a reminder the day before so that you make sure you get ready. The bridesmaids didn't know when the groom would return. And when he did, it was very sudden. When the cry rang out at midnight, there was no time to get prepared then. They were either ready or they weren't. And so Jesus' application of this story in verse 13 is clear. Therefore, he says, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Jesus has made the same point numerous times already in chapter 24. Chapter 24, verse 36, he says, about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Verse 42 says a similar thing. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. Verse 44, so you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. And verse 50, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. It's pretty clear, isn't it? We don't know when Jesus will return, and it's pointless to speculate.
People do.
They certainly speculate. But it seems pretty clear from what Jesus says, we're pointless doing that. It will be one day. It could be any day. And so I guess the question for us is, if it was today, would you be ready? The family in Kangarilla had 7 minutes warning before the fire swept through their property. 7 minutes to get ready, to shelter. The return of Jesus will be even more sudden. There'll be no time to get prepared. Each of us needs to be ready now. There are two ways our lives in this world can end. Either we will die, or Jesus will return before we die. Chances are, all of us in this room will die. That'll be the way that we leave life in this world. Now, not definitely, Jesus could return any day, he could return today. But, you know, going on probability, we'll probably die. But even that doesn't mean that we can kind of put off our preparations. You may live for 50 more years, but you might not. You could die tonight. Death can come unexpectedly and suddenly. I heard this week about a guy at Soma Blue Mountains, a friend's church in Sydney, was on holiday with his wife in Scotland and just had a massive heart failure and died instantly. 35 years old. Each of us needs to be ready. The return of Jesus is sudden. And fourthly, we need to be ready because readiness is personal. Look at verse 7. When the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom, come to meet him. Verse 7 says, all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out. No, they replied, there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Now, this, I think, is not meant to encourage selfishness, you know, not being willing to share what you have. I think it's simply teaching the impossibility of borrowing from other people's readiness. The wise bridesmaids were ready, and their readiness was not something they could share. Readiness is personal. The foolish bridesmaids try to get some readiness from other people, but they can't. And so they then head off for a last-minute attempt to get prepared, which seems unlikely at midnight that they'll find someone selling oil, but they make an attempt, but it's too late. It doesn't work. Readiness is personal. It's non-transferable. There are no group tickets. We're all dealt with as individuals. And so this is a warning to us not to rely on other people around us who appear to be ready. It's not going to count to have friends who were ready for Jesus' return, to be part of a family, to be part of a church where people were ready. It's going to be about whether you personally, individually, were ready for his return. You know, when the train inspector comes through the carriage, you can't appeal to the fact that you're in a group and everyone else has got a ticket. It's not going to get you off the hook. Are you ready is a question to each of us as individuals. And the disturbing thing about this parable, the real shock in Jesus' story, is that some people who really looked as though they were ready will be shown to be frauds. So secondly, some of us will not be ready. Each of us needs to be, but some of us, Jesus says, will not. There are 10 bridesmaids in his story, but only 5 are ready and enter the wedding banquet. Now, I don't think we're meant to take the 50% literally, but it's clear Jesus is saying that some will not be ready, even though it looks like they were. Who is this warning to? Jesus is giving this teaching to his disciples, not to the crowd in general. And so it seems that the dividing line is not going to be simply between the church and the world. The dividing line is going to run right through the church. In other words, Jesus is talking about people who claim to be Christians, people who are part of the visible church, people who appear on the surface to be the real thing. Again, think about the bridesmaids. I'm sure they all had the bridesmaid's dress, the matching shoes. They'd all done their hair. On the surface, they all looked the part. They all had a lamp. Seems to me Jesus is talking about people who are in the church, regular, faithful churchgoers, participating in church life, singing songs, saying prayers, taking communion, giving their money. But sitting in church, being part of a church community, doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes you a car. Now, let me say, being part of a church community is a good thing. And I know there are some people part of our church community who know that you're not yet a Christian. You're not claiming to be, but you want to be part of the community so that you can learn and investigate. And that's good. We love having people who don't yet believe, part of our community here. This parable is saying to you, don't put that decision off. You know, make the investigation. Ask the questions you need to ask. Find out about Jesus, because the opportunity to respond isn't going to last forever. But this parable is also speaking to those who are part of the church community and think that that's enough, who think that because of that, they are ready. People who assume that simply looking the part, going through the motions, you know, having the outward form of religion is going to be enough. And this parable says, there's something more required. Make sure you've got what's necessary to really be ready. What's the difference between the wise and foolish bridesmaids? Well, look at verse 2. We're told five of them were foolish, five were wise. For the foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. So what's the question that you're left asking? What's the oil? Yeah, if the oil is the thing that distinguishes between the wise and foolish bridesmen. Yeah, the wise ones had oil to light their lamps. They were ready. What does that oil signify? What does it mean to have oil? Well, Jesus doesn't tell us explicitly in this parable, does he? Oil clearly signifies being ready. So what does it mean to be ready for Jesus' return? How can we make sure we're ready to meet Jesus when he comes? Well, from chapter 24, it's clear when Jesus returns, it's going to be a day of judgment. And as we've seen, there will be a great division. Some will enter the indescribable joys of eternity, the wedding banquet. But others will be shut out. And the thing that will decide your fate, the thing that determines if you're ready, is not whether you were good enough, not whether you were religious enough. The thing that determines if you're ready is whether you've received the salvation that Jesus offers. Back in chapter 24, Jesus likens his return to being similar to the days of Noah and the flood. He says how everyone at the time of Noah just was going about their life as if nothing was different, nothing unexpected was happening. And then the flood came and swept them all away. And at the time of the floods, it's only those who had taken shelter in the ark that were safe. Similar to that family in Kangaroo, isn't it? You know, it was only within their house, surrounded by this curtain of water, that they were safe from the fire as it raced through. And it seems to be Jesus is saying, on the day he returns, when God's judgment falls, there is one place of safety, only one, and that is in him. In him, sheltering under the cross. see, Jesus has done everything necessary to keep us safe in that judgment day, to secure our place in the eternal banquets. Through his death on the cross, he's dealt with the sin that would exclude us. He's dealt with the sin that would condemn us. He's won forgiveness for us so that we can look forward to that future day without fear, but with great joy and anticipation. Jesus cried out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? See, on the cross, Jesus was shut out. He was shut out so that we could be welcomed in. And so the question of this parable is, have you received Christ? Have you received him as your Savior and Lord? Have you put your trust in him? Have you come to shelter under his cross? Have you entered into relationship with him? He says to the foolish virgins, I don't know you. They looked the part, but it turns out at the end they never had a relationship with the bridegroom. Do you? Not are you part of a church community, but are you in relationship with Jesus? Have you come to him and acknowledged, I can't save myself. Lord, I need you to wash me clean. I need you to change my heart. I need you to come into my life. Have you entered into a relationship with Jesus? And it's not just about a decision that you made once upon a time in the past, a prayer that you prayed, a commitment that you made, but are you ready today? Are you trusting in Jesus today? Are you in relationship with Jesus today? That's how you know if you're ready. The contrast in this story is between the wise and the foolish. Jesus says, if you don't make preparations, if you don't get ready for his return, you're a fool, because his return is certain and it'll be final. It'll come suddenly, and each one of us needs to be ready personally. On that day, those who in this life were considered fools for following Christ, for giving up their lives to serve him, those who were mocked for their allegiance and commitment to Jesus will be shown to be the wise ones. Whereas those who've rejected Jesus, who've never taken the time to investigate, to come to him and receive the salvation that he's won, well, they'll be shown to be fools, however successful, however prosperous they were in this world. Let me pray as we finish. Lord Jesus, thank you for this parable. Thank you for this clear teaching about your return. Thank you that you describe it as a wedding banquet. A day of unparalleled joy and celebration. Thank you for the hope of eternity that you set before us. Thank you that it will be wonderful beyond words. And yet you also warn us in this parable that for some it'll be a day of great regret, a disastrous day, when they are shut out from your presence, shut out from the joys of eternity. And so we hear your call, Jesus, to keep watch, to make sure that we are ready for that day, ready for your return. And we pray that you would help us, each of us, to ask that question, not to make assumptions, not to rely on church membership or religious activity, or past decisions, but to ensure that today we're trusting in you. We're in relationship with you. We're sheltering under the cross, looking to you for our salvation and our hope. We pray in your name. Amen. Let me say as we finish, being ready isn't just about a kind of trusting in Jesus for salvation. If that is you, if you're coming to a relationship with him, then that's going to affect everything. You know, the wise life is the life lived in light of Jesus' return, kind of waiting for it, longing for it, letting your life here and now be affected by that final day. And we'll see in the next two parables how that plays out.